And welcome to the Grace Hour Show. And to all of you listening, this will be our last opportunity to say this. Merry, 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 blessed, blessed Christmas to you. And we are talking about the reason for the season, Jesus Christ, his incarnation, in all of its forms this week. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, and with me today, Pastor Steve Schibelli. And we're going to talk about the only begotten Son of God and why that's important, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his entrance into humanity as the Son of David to take the throne of the universe. It's very important. This incarnation, him taking on flesh, is so important. And the fact that he's the only begotten one, the only one of the Trinity who did this. And Pastor Schibelli will have some really interesting things to say about that. And you may have some interesting things to say to us. And you can do that two ways: through a phone call, 1-800-338-7060. And another number, 410-483-3700. We prefer phone calls. Or you could do it the online way. We have chat windows there open at Facebook Live and also at YouTube Live and other platforms. You can punch in your question that way. We may read it. If it's related to what we're talking about today, we'll read it and make comment. But we're grateful here on this Friday. And Pastor Schibelli has some things to say, but first I'm going to introduce it with a few scriptures here. And the first one that we want to look at is John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Move on in that chapter to verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And then later on in the Gospel of John, of course, John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Chapter 3 and verse 18 of the Gospel of John, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that has believed not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, John wrote a couple of letters later in the New Testament, so we'll go to his first letter, and chapter 4 and verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. So I think you get the gist of that. We're looking at this focus, this term, begotten Son, and Pastor Schibelli, all yours right now.
Okay, Father, bless our time today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very interesting word, of course, in the English language, only begotten, but in the Greek language, it's the word monogenes, M-O-N-O-G-E-N-E-S, and it means simply this: he's the only one. If he's monogenes, if he's only begotten, he's the only one. He's the unique one. He's the eternal one. He's the personal one. And he's the perfect one. Has a quite a powerful meaning in its context in these verses. He's the only one. He is the unique one. He is the eternal one. He is the personal one. He is the perfect one. And so the significance about him becoming the incarnate king was that very truth that he is monogenes, and he would become the God-man, perfectly God, yet perfectly man. It's a mystery, by the way. Sometimes human beings try to understand the mysteries of God, and Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand. And I can't understand. Can you understand how God spoke and then there was Mars, and God spoke and there was the universe, and God spoke and there was, you know, all these things that were there and created just by him speaking? See, man has this idea that he has to understand everything before he would think it's true. But it's just interesting to me. I drive over a bridge. I don't understand how they put that bridge up, but I drive over the bridge, you know? So he's the God man. He's the God man. And that's such a significant thing about him being incarnate king, because he's incarnate the God man. And it's only the God man who could become actually incarnate king, where he would become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now we know that after the cross and the living the life of resurrection life on earth, he ascended into heaven, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and he is ever living to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25, ever living to do what? I once preached a message in Africa called Ever Loving, Ever Living. He's ever living to make intercession for us. And then it also says that we have an advocate, the legal counsel of our defense. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So he's ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And the theological implications of that act is very simple. He's the only one that could have ever done that, because he was the only one that became man. He was in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son of God became man, often referring to himself, especially in the Gospel of Luke, as the Son of Man, as the Son of Man, for identification purposes. So Jesus is the God-man, perfectly God, who became the perfect man. And he would be the only one that could really be the key to our intercession and our advocacy. Now, also we have the thoughts about him being a prophet and priest. And obviously, he's prophet. He is the prophet written about by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15. And he's the word of God. And what is a prophet? What is prophecy? Prophecy is the word of God. It's not always what people get up and they say in church, thus saith the Lord, this one's going to marry this one or something. You know what? That's not prophecy. I don't really know what that is, but it's not prophecy. Prophecy is the Bible, the word of God. And this is so key. So as the God man, he is perfect God, perfect man. He's also the prophet, because Jesus is the word. Then he's also not just the priest, but he's called the great high priest. Because of being perfectly God and perfectly man, he's the only one that could be the great high priest. So these incredible offices of king, prophet, and priest belong to the one and only one whose name is given under heaven, by which we must be saved. We must be delivered. So it's really incredible. As we think about this time of the year, what do we see in Christmas? How do we see Christmas? Do we just view it as Jesus coming, God becoming a man? And that's great. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. That's perfect and that's great. But I love it that he is God and he is man. He is totally God and totally man. He represents man to God and God to man. And he comes and he is there as our prophet, our priest, and our king. The prophet being the word of God, the priest being the one who represents us to God, and the king who has victory. He has victory over the devil and all the demons, victory over the world, victory over what we would call religion today. He has absolute victory. Jesus Christ is a victorious king. So we just want to begin our broadcast today with those thoughts about the importance, the significance of the incarnate king. And by the way, isn't it most interesting that the enemy is always attacking the God-man? Right? Yep. He doesn't attack other religions. Why? Because nobody claims to be the God man. He attacks God concerning man, and he attacks man concerning God. So he's on the attack. And just the fact that the enemy is always attacking the person of Jesus Christ should be very good evidence for us that he is the king. He is the prophet, he's the priest, he's the king, he's the God man, the incarnation. This is really what it's about, the incarnate king. I mean, what a miracle, God becoming a man. I think sometimes I believe it. I believe it with all my heart, and I know it's true, But boy, the mystery of that truth is incredible. So we're looking at a babe born in Bethlehem in a manger, and that babe, and they knew, the wise men came from the east, they knew who he was. They laid gifts, and they knew he was the king of the Jews. And not just king of the Jews, but the king of kings. So Father, bless our time today on the air, wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Cibele. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Welcome to the Grace Hour show. Our podcast continues. We've been talking about the coming of the Son this week, the incarnation, just the significance of all of that. And as Pastor Cibele pointed out at the beginning of his message there, his opening remarks, talking about Jesus as the only one, the unique one, the eternal one, the personal one, and the perfect one. And where is he today? Where is he today? He sits on a throne that only he is qualified to sit upon, right?
Absolutely. No, who else could sit there?
Exactly. Right. And we know about the dominion that God organized at the beginning of creation and was forfeited by the fall of Adam. And now we know that Paul referred to Jesus as the last Adam. So this seating, what it used to be called the session, you remember that?
Yeah, like, yeah.
He's now in session.
Right.
His throne is now in session in a place that's above the earth, but one day he will come here and we'll see a more physical manifestation.
Yes.
A more, a more visible manifestation. Right now it's real. And it's only held in our hearts, right?
Right.
Like you said, it's hard to imagine, right?
And the
Son became a man.
Yeah, God became a man. I mean, the human mind will understand that one day when we are totally set free from our old sin nature, this world, and the influence of the enemy, where when we are in heaven. I mean, I'm not saying of course we can understand it today, and we believe it by faith. But it is quite incredible to think that at the right hand of the Father is our advocate, the counsel for our defense, the legal counsel for our defense. And then there's he who ever lives to intercede for us. He's the great high priest, his intercession for us. So he's praying for us. Can you imagine? Not only did he come for us, the incarnation, not only did he die for us, the finished work, not only was he raised for us, but he is ever living to make intercession for us as advocate and the great high priest. And really, I think, do people take advantage of that? I think sometimes they think about the life of Christ, and they can even be born again. But do they realize, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in trouble, in difficulties, in valleys, with problems. And where do we go first? Do we go to the great high priest? Do we go to he who ever lives to make intercession for us? Because he's the only one that can change things. I remember an incident that happened one time in East Africa, and somehow the money we were supposed to spend to advertise for our convention was, I don't know, misused or misplaced or something like that. You know, I'm not blaming anybody. It could have been any of us that we just misplaced it or something like that. So they said, what are we going to do? We're supposed to advertise for our convention. I said, let's do this. Let's advertise to God. Let's have three prayer meetings a day for 3 days. Okay, 10 to 12, 1 to 3, and 7 to 9 at night. And let's see what happens. Let's believe God. And you know what happened? The previous year, we had 250 people at the convention. After that 3 days of prayer, 700 people came. I don't even know where they came from, to be honest with you.
Right?
It was almost triple.
Play.
I was like shocked. And I realized, wait a minute, it's great to do advertising. I'm not against it. We do it.
Yeah.
All right. But, you know, it was like God allowed us to see something miraculous. Mm-hmm. You pray to me and I'll send people. Mm-hmm. People came. I met some people that came to that conference, didn't even know why they were there. They just found themselves up on top of that hill where we're having the convention, you know, walking by and then calling their friends and saying there's something going on up here. So, amen. The God man, the King of Kings, the great high priest. This is who he is in your life today. So where am I going when I get into a sticky situation? Where am I going when there's a problem? Where am I going, you know, when things look like on all sides, nothing but trouble? 2 Corinthians 4:7-8, Paul said, trouble on every side. Mm. But then he said this, we have to hold. We have to Jesus Christ to hold in our lives. we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we're here today. People are writing in. You can call in. Aretha.
Our faithful and glorious, good morning, our faithful pastors, teachers of God's holy. This is glorious truth. My great high priest, Jesus, my King of kings and my Lord of lords, interceding for us. Now,
I like that one.
Let's talk about this, because you talk about this in classes a lot. Like, if we reduce Jesus, okay, we have to see Jesus as supreme and the King that he's, you know, the New Testament introduces it for us. It says that this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. So he's both of these, you know, he's both of these, he connects to both of these lines through the Hebrew people, through David to the throne. And, but, you know, if we reduce Jesus to just like a philosopher or a humanitarian or some, you know, person who said, you know, we can read the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you love your enemies. Do good to those who, you know, all those things. But he is the King. And this is the, you know, if we don't have him in elevation, right? If we don't have him in that place in our lives, what do we have to hope in, right?
Well, you know what we have? We have ourselves as King.
There you go.
And I'm the one that's going to rule and reign and make all the decisions in my life rather than simply trusting God.
Yeah.
I like the thought about the deaf coming to him and the blind coming to him. Because there's not a whole lot they can do about reigning in their life,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so this idea of King of Kings is amazing. Not just, I don't mean just, but the prophet, the priest, the great high priest, but the King of Kings, giving us absolute victory. This is what makes demons flee. I think even churches and Christians that don't understand or believe or ever even operate in the fact that he has victory, what they end up doing is living in defeat.
Yeah.
They live defeated lives. And no matter what you're going through, what's happening in your life today, sickness, tragedy, disappointment, misunderstandings, well, one thing you can rely upon and be absolutely sure of, he is your great high priest, he is the prophet, and he is the King of Kings. And I like the word M-Y. You know what? That makes it personal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's the King. No, he's my King.
Yes.
He's the prophet. No, he's my prophet. He's the great high priest. No, he's my great high priest. He's not just, you know, you see it all the time. Jesus, the Savior of the world. I understand that, and that's great, but he's my Savior. He's my Savior. That's very personal.
Mm.
That's very personal to me. It's personal to Aretha Carter. It's personal to Melissa. It's personal to Kia. It's personal to Teresa Adams. It's just very personal to each and every one of us. And when it's not personal, then it's abstract.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not specific. And so people go around at Christmas talking about things that are abstract and not specific, very generalized. Why don't you have a generalized Christmas this year, you know? I mean, and whatnot. You know that a present for me under the tree, okay, maybe you don't care about trees, but a Christmas present for me has my name on it.
Yeah,
okay?
I know.
My brother used to get upset because I would open up his presents. He said, don't you see my name on that? I was too young. I didn't understand. I was like 10 years old, and I thought this was all for me.
I didn't
realize I had a brother. And he said, those are my presents. You opened up my present. So I did it once, and that was the last time I did it. But, you know, he's my Savior. He's my Jesus, my King. You know what David Livingstone said at the end of his life? They found written on his Bible. It was taped to the front of his Bible when they found him in Chitambo, dead in the tent. And on that Bible, he had written, my Jesus, my life, my King, my all.
Mm.
Those were his last words.
Wow.
My Jesus, not just the Jesus, my Jesus, my life, my King, my all. And so how personal Christmas can be. This time of the year can be so personal for us.
Mm.
And we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose that. We can get caught up in all that's going on. And there's nothing wrong with all that's going on. But what happens if Jesus is removed from all that's going on? Then Christmas becomes something that is elevating things that really are not to be really elevated. They're to be considered and to be thankful for, but Jesus Christ, and this is so key, Christ is all, and he's in all.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's he is all and he is in all.
You know, one thing, you said this, the significant, like my king, all those things about being ours, you know, ours. The possession that we have. I remember the first time you said this, it was like really like, I don't know, it was a long time ago. I mean, 20 years has gone by pretty fast, right? But I can remember you saying, you know, a message saying, you know, Jesus took something to the Trinity that wasn't there before,
which
was
that,
perfect,
huh?
Perfect humanity. And I think this week we've been talking about incarnation, and that last word you said, it's only, unique, eternal. That's certainly related to him. But then the personal nature of being my king and the perfect nature of his kingdom, it's like the perfect humanity that he brought to the Trinity is like, it defines, it's like, like you said, it's a mystery. God took on flesh. He became a man. Mm-hmm. And then he gave that life, but that life came back to him. And then he took that flesh and bone up through the clouds to the throne that he sits on. That's like, that's a big, like the, one of the questions here is like, what's the theological implications of that? That throne could only be seated upon by a real man. So, there is
God
no, because Adam forfeited in the fall his dominion over the earth, then, you know, there's no way that we could be under the right rule again until
Jesus brought it back.
Huh? Yeah, he Jesus did it, right? It perfect. You perfect
think,
life, right?
You think about all these people that claim to be the prophet or the priest or whatnot, you know, and there's only one. And I like what that word once again means, monogenes, the one, the only one, the unique one, the personal one, the perfect one. Yeah. There's never going to be anyone like him. You know, that's why it says every knee shall bow.
Yeah.
Not some, not Christians only. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can't confess anybody else and have it be the glory of God the Father. No, it's not going to be. It can't be the head of this religion or some pope or some prophet or something like that. No, it can only be Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. Every knee, imagine that. Mm. Hitler,
every
Lenin. And not just that Lenin, even the Beatles Lenin. You know? I mean, all of them, you know? All of these so-called people that were so... I mean, look towards to have significance in this world. Everyone will bow.
Yeah.
Everyone will bow, whether it's Donald Trump or Joe Biden or anybody. I don't care who it is, a leader in a nation in Russia or in India or whatever. Every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Isn't it better to do it now?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
You don't do it now, you're going to do it later, but it's not going to be a happy ending.
No.
It's going to be an eternal damnation and perishing, which is so sad when you think about how many people, this time of the year, there's people that do things totally against God just to try to get back at God at Christmas, you know? Their attacks and their assaults. It's really quite something and amazing. But thank God he's my Savior, my King, my High Priest. My prophet. It's so personal. Yeah. And you know what? 2 Samuel, if you read it sometime, 2 Samuel chapter 22, the word my is used like 21 times. Mm. You know, David was talking about, you know, my. He's my light, my lamp, my refuge, you know? And it becomes very personal because God is personal. And when you think about monogenes, you're thinking about personal.
Yeah.
Thinking about personal. So this is key. Anybody out there today? We got a lot of messages.
Yeah, we could use a call.
How about a call? Anybody out there want a call?
Greetings from Romania there. We have a greetings from Romania. Wow. Thank you for today's message. Thank you, God. Thank God for sending Jesus for us. Merry Christmas to you. Pastor Shibeli, we keep on praying for you. That's amazing.
That's really good. I think that's awesome. That could be actually amazing.
Yeah. 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 Are you going to Romania this year before Eurocon or
I think
not?
I'm going to Romania before the conference in Budapest.
Okay. So before Eurocon.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's the
plan. I hope they know that. I don't know if they even know that.
Well, we might be starting something, right?
Well, it was supposed to happen. Yeah. We didn't do it last year, did we?
Yeah, we did. Last year we went to Budapest. Didn't you go to Romania? You went to Romania last year. You were on the train overnight. You were in the hotel with me.
You remember that night?
I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I won't be going there. It's someplace else I'm going. Okay. I don't know exactly where, but...
Friends, you're listening to the Grace Hour Show. It's a podcast here. Pastor Steve Schiavelli is with me, Pastor Steve Androlonis. We do have phone lines if you'd like to make a comment with your voice rather than typing it on the screen there. 1-800-338-7060. That's a toll-free number. You still have time. We've got about 16, 17 minutes before we'll shut down today. 410-483-3700 is the local number here in Baltimore. Also a worldwide number. Now, we're talking about little words. Okay, so I'm thinking there's the little word my, and then there's that other little word, that definite article, T-H-E, the. So we're talking about making the importance of making Jesus your king, but he's still the king. He's still the way. He's still the life, and he's the only conduit to God the Father. He's the Son of the living God. So I know you like little words.
Yeah, definite,
you know?
definite articles is key.
Because there's one and only, like the monogenes, you said. It's like the one and the only one.
Because people try to make it very abstract and generalized. So, but I have my Father, but he's not, but he's not the Father, you know? And I like what Jesus said. The Pharisees said to him, like, something about the Father. He said, your father is the devil. Imagine saying that to religious people. I mean, that could be cutting right to the throat. Mm. Your father is the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. So Jesus was saying to these religious people, your father is not my father. Mm. No, my father is the Father. He's the only one, the one and the only one. And Jesus is the one and the only Savior, and he becomes my Savior. And the Father is the one and only Father, and he's my Father, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's the Spirit, and the Spirit becomes my Spirit when I'm born again. And this is the key. We should be, if you're listening to this program today on the air or at any time, really the most important thing is for you to receive Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior.
That's right.
Without that, maybe you wouldn't even understand what we're saying today. I don't see how anybody could understand.
Well,
what
I don't think
saying.
So either. No. I mean, we sat in traditional churches
for
a long time. We said a lot of things. We took the communion, all those things. We did all those things.
I did all those things and a lot more too.
Yeah, well,
I used to run a gambling operation for the church.
Yeah.
So sorry. But that's gone. That's the past.
I don't know how they could stop you when they have bingo down the hall. I'm sorry.
Exactly
be careful. We understand.
Right.
I had a couple of, anyway, I could talk about
there's churches that are doing some interesting things that have nothing to do with the Savior or the King. You know why? Because the Savior and the King is not their Savior and their King. So when you have what we call a church, by the way, which is supposed to mean ecclesia,
called out ones.
Yeah. But why are they operating in worldliness? Because they don't understand called out. And the Savior has not become their Savior.
That's true.
And this is so important. There's a personal life of God. And I was born again, and I was in a traditional church, but the Holy Spirit came into my life and changed me and my brother, both of us. And it was amazing. And this is what can happen this week. This week, especially Christmas and New Year's, you could be listening today and maybe you say, I don't really understand what you're talking about. Well, we're talking about a personal life with God, that the Holy Spirit can come into your life and he can change us. He can make us a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, brand new. You become a new person. Well, they look the same, don't they? Yeah, they do. Maybe their hair's even a little bit more white, whatever. But they've got God living in them.
Yeah.
Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. There is no hope of glory if Christ isn't in you.
That's true.
If Christ is not in us, there's no hope of glory. There's no hope. We're without hope in Ephesians 2:11-12, without hope. It's really sad to think today there could be people that actually are looking at Christmas and they're saying yes to the birth of Jesus Christ, but they never have experienced what his death did for them.
Mm.
There's his life, and then there's the cross, the finished work of the blood. They've not experienced that, and they've never received Christ as their personal Savior. And so they can go through the Christmas holidays and be lost,
yeah,
totally lost, and they're celebrating Christmas without understanding that the one who came, came to live for them and then to die for them, to shed his blood for them, to rise again for them, and to live interceding for them. They miss that. And that's the lie of Satan. See, Satan can use the Christmas times, the Easter times, and all these so-called special times. He can use them to turn the tables. When Jesus is the one that turned the tables in the temple. But he can use it, and he can try to elevate something other than who God is. You know, and therefore people get occupied with that. You know,
true. Yeah,
I'm afraid to go to a store nowadays. I heard they're so jam packed with people you can't even move around.
Depends.
You know?
Depends on where you go. I guess.
How about when you go?
Yeah,
how about when you can, 12 o'clock at night.
Well, generally, I found that during the week between 2:30 and 4, that's when people are picking up their kids.
Oh,
that's
you got the key then.
Maybe. I'm thinking about this. You're talking about this. We're talking about receiving Christ. There was no room at the inn. He had to sleep in a manger. We're talking about Christmas trees. There's a gift under the tree, and you never open it.
Right. Yeah.
And what does that mean? That's really what we're saying about salvation. It's like it's got your name on it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, those verses that you said about the only begotten Son, you know, you receive him. And you open the free gift. You open your heart. You make yourself a gift to him, but he made himself a gift for you. It's like...
you got people living in the house, and they never open their gifts.
Yeah.
They're just still sitting there, even on New Year's.
Yeah.
They're sitting there. Well...
For whatever reason, you're angry at God, you don't like the shape of the tree, or you just don't think you deserve it. It's like, you know, just open the gift and receive it, right?
Well, Satan's a liar.
Yeah.
And he propagates a message that would tell people, like, if, you know, if you become a Christian, you have to do this, you have to live this way, you have to do that. No, no. You receive Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit lives the life.
Yeah.
You know, somebody once told me it's very difficult to do the things that are in the Bible. I said, do you have the Spirit of God? Are you born again? They said, yes. I said, who wrote the Bible? They said, the Holy Spirit. I said, do you think it's difficult for the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wrote? Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Wow. It's very easy for the Holy Spirit to do what he wrote. But if you're trying to, through some religious self-effort and human ability, perform the things that are in the Bible, you can forget it.
That's
I looked at the Bible and I said, I just closed it up. I said, I can't do this. I wasn't saved. I was reading the Bible as an unsaved person, and it was doing a job on me because I didn't have the Spirit of God. And then when I got saved and I read the Bible, and I thought, God can do this.
Mm.
I can't do this. God can do this. This is called finished work grace and finished work truth.
That's right.
Imagine people trying to perform the things that God says, even at Christmas time, even now. You know, love your enemy. Try that without God.
That's right.
You can't do that without God.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit has to shed the love abroad in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be the Spirit of God, you know?
Yeah. Well, what was I thinking about? When we read through the Bible, I'm just thinking, like, we're talking about who our King is. He is the King. You will recognize it. Make him your King. That's what we want. Make him, he is the prophet, make him your prophet, you know, by receiving his gift of salvation. The Holy Spirit will come in, and then you can see the wondrous things that are written in his law, according to Psalm 119. Now, when I think about it, and I'm thinking about a couple of instances, when we go back in, I think it's 1 Kings, Solomon gets a visitation, and he's the first thing that represents his wisdom is he's settling an issue between two prostitutes who both had babies and one is dead. Like how low does the king go? There's like, these people are definitely sinners and we know what they're doing. So, but then I think when we go to the other end of the spectrum and into one of your favorite books, because you like all the books of the Bible, but Acts is great. But we also see the other end of the spectrum. There we see Stephen being stoned. He's not an apostle. He's a deacon.
Right.
He's preaching. He's being stoned. But the king, he sees the king. And what does the king do? Stands up to receive him. You know, it's like, I mean, I think that's the depth and the height of what king we're talking about. Here we see Solomon was a king on a literal throne. And these two prostitutes could come and he could settle this this custody issue of a baby.
Right.
And like, you know, should these people have been in the king's court? I don't know. It's like, you know, hey, don't bother me. I have no time for this kind of thing. But
right,
it just shows the depth that he goes to. And then the height where God is, You know, if you are a saint of God, when you exit this world, you're getting a reception by the king.
Well, standing up.
Right? The king.
Yeah. You know how they stand up when the wedding couple comes into the wedding?
Right.
They stand up. Yeah, that's Jesus bringing his bride home.
Yes.
You know, he's like standing up. And really, it's amazing. Here's the Father seated. There's the Spirit in the person coming, the Holy Spirit there at the throne also. And then Jesus stands.
Yeah.
Why? Jesus stands because he paid the penalty. His shed blood delivered me from sin and evil. And it's quite a victory when you see that. Welcoming home the person, right?
Yeah.
Welcoming home the person. You know, the enemy is always trying to put obstacles in our path. You can't come to Jesus because you failed, you did this, you didn't do this and whatnot. And yet there is nothing that can keep us from coming to God. Hebrews 4:14-16 tells us that you come boldly to the throne of grace to get what? Two things, grace and mercy. What's mercy for? Your sin. Yeah. So you come as a sinner. I need help. I'm weak and I'm sinful. Mm-hmm. I'm coming to get grace and mercy. And I'm coming to the throne of God. You know, that's amazing. And that God is available to us. Available to us.
You know, another part of that story, I think, you know, you say God is available to us. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, another part of the Stephen story, I'm thinking he's so occupied with seeing Jesus that he's able to forgive with his last breath, you know, I mean, is he feeling the stones hitting him? I think at that point, probably not. He's raptured into in his mind and heart, he's seeing Jesus receiving him, and he's saying, you know, everyone should be able to experience this. And that's his thing. Don't lay this sin to their charge. Now, there is a gift.
He's forgiven, right? And forgiven, being forgiven, the stones don't matter.
And he's forgiving.
Yeah. How about us? How about when people throw stones at us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Spiritual stones. They throw things at us.
You unfriended me. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm unfriended on Facebook. That's a stone.
What's the best way to look at it? I see Jesus.
Yeah.
I see Jesus, you know. I don't see you, and I don't see what you've done.
Mm.
You know, and that could solve a lot of marriage problems. That could solve a lot of personal problems between people. That could solve a lot of country problems with another country if they would just see Jesus.
Yeah.
As simple as that. They would see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, waiting for them.
Yeah.
Waiting for them, personally receiving them. But people don't see it that way. They see like, oh no, all that I've done, all that I've been, God would never receive me and take me in.
Mm.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
No, yes, he would. You think about Mark chapter 5. He received a demoniac. He received a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and then he received a dead child, 3D. It's a 3D movie.
And all unclean, right? Huh? All unclean things,
all
right?
Unclean.
According to the law, right?
How many? They said he could have had 5,000 demons in him.
Yeah.
Right? And then he gets rid of the demons and receives him. Receives him. Think about that. There's this woman with an issue of blood, unclean. They would yell on the other side of the street when she walked down the street, unclean. And then Jairus' daughter, he's not even a Jew, is he? Jairus?
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I think he's part of the temple.
Part of the temple.
Yeah.
But he's just going to receive that daughter back to life.
Synagogue, yeah.
So three Ds, the demoniac, the disease, and the daughter.
Yeah.
And he's receiving all of them. This is in Mark chapter 5. Read it. In case you think at some point in your life that God would never receive you or take you in. By the way, what would you do with a person who was murdering Christians in the church?
Hmm.
Would you receive them or reject them? I think in our humanity, all of us would, I don't want anything to do with this person.
Yeah.
Remember they were scared of him?
Yeah.
Even the apostles were?
That's right.
But Barnabas brought him, right?
That's right, yeah.
Son of encouragement. Barnabas brought him. And this was key. Saul was, up in Tarsus. I mean, what was he going to do? He had seen God. He was transformed and changed. Were they going to believe that? Were they going to actually believe that?
Look at that. Merry Christmas from Mozambique.
Lebo! Mozambique. I know her, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
That's amazing.
She's from South Africa and her husband's from Mozambique. His name is Pastor Geronimo. I like the name. Pastor Geronimo.
Now, we... you know this. We have a church in Mozambique right now, or are we working on it?
No, we have. Okay. I think two.
Oh, very
two
good.
Churches
awesome.
In Mozambique. Yeah, Portuguese speaking.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to, because you're probably aware of this. I understand. Like, okay, we live in a Western culture, Western civilization, and the idea of self as king. But when you go to Africa and you go to Asia, you see
kings.
That the message of a king and him extending mercy and the fact that he has like this, you know, this authority to give mercy and, you know, it's very effective in these kinds of more traditional cultures
yes.
as opposed to like our self-centered culture. It's yeah. like, and it's probably the reason why churches grow because the concept of a king in their mind is so much closer,
yes,
whether
it
it's the chief in
it
the
is.
Tribe or whether the king, it's the, yeah. right?
Well, yeah, there's the king of the Zulus, the
yeah.
Zulu king, and there's the king in West Africa, in Ghana. I remember the tribe in a minute. The king of the Awes and whatnot. There's kings. Yeah, that's something yeah. that's in their mind. Because I remember one time going to a place and there was a person who was actually the king and he was like their high priest.
Uh-huh.
And I remember approaching him. And I remember preaching in this place. And I always remember, you remember this, you are not the authority in this village. Jesus and this book is.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, I need to talk to you. Mm. It was amazing, you know. He talked about, he said, I want all of the people in my village to become Christians, you know.
Yeah.
I said, well, you could go a long way to make that happen if you would just say yes to God and receive him into your life. So they understand that whole principle. That whole principle, maybe for us, maybe they understand that in England too, right?
Yeah.
Somewhat in England, but maybe to the Western concept, it's kind of like,
well,
wow.
I mean, like these three wise men, these magi, they're studying the Hebrew scriptures
yeah.
and they're not Christian, they're not Jewish, and they understand the idea, the authority of this
yeah.
king,
yeah.
the idea, the authority of a king. And I'm just thinking like, this is, you know, you know, in some places, Jesus has to be the prophet. In other places,
yeah.
a very religious-oriented person is going to be seeing Jesus as priest. But if you can
right.
see him as king in these other cultures,
right.
it's just the way that God is able to communicate who he
right.
really is to different groups of people. It's the idea of Jesus being king is so central to the reaching the uttermost
right.
parts of the world, right?
Well, isn't that what Revelation 19 is about? It comes back, King yeah. of Kings and Lord of Lords.
That's right.
But it is, yes, because reaching the other parts of the world, or any part of the world, understanding the principle, he's the God, the perfect man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great high priest, the prophet, you know, all
yeah.
these offices that are only really, only he is the one that
yeah.
can really function in all of those offices in the truest sense of the word, so...
Yeah.
We're very thankful for that. We have a minute and 27 seconds to go. We hope that you're going to have a grace and finished work Jesus Christ Christmas.
Exactly.
You're
going to
have a
yeah.
Jesus Christ Christmas.
And we'd really like to see your face.
Yes,
maybe
church.
You have listened to us at Greater Grace, you've watched our live streams, but you know, seeing us face to face, it'd be great to shake your hand. Come on out to our church services. Now, this Sunday, we'll have morning services, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. In the evening, it'll be 5 o'clock. We'll have a candlelight service for Christmas Eve. So
that way people can go home and spend
yeah.
Christmas Eve with their family, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Home by
you know,
6:30.
Yeah, I'm done my wrapping. So I always take like a few moments to wrap presents for my wife, so I did it. But, you know, and you have to wrap presents for your children, all that kind of stuff. So 9, 11, 5 o'clock this Sunday,
Amen.
Also next Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Then the following Sunday, which is New Year's Eve, we have 9, 11, and 8 o'clock, and then we go through to the new year. We have a service, and then we have a break, and we'll have some fellowship.
Food, too,
want,
I hope.
Food,
yes,
yep. And if
yes.
you want to stay with us on our knees, you know, what's fireworks got to do with anything? Pray the new year, and it's great.
Fireworks?
Anyway,
I thought that was 4th of July.
Fireworks down at 7. Well... Well, I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis, and I've been with Pastor Steve Shibeli today and Jehu Vandiver, who's been
yes.
Doing our technical details
Throw
today.
Down.
We want to thank you from the Grace Hour and from Greater Grace Church. We're just really what Pastor Shibeli is true. Jesus is the answer. Make room for him in your hearts the way that the innkeeper made room for him in the stable. This is a much bigger thing. Get saved this Christmas.
Amen.
Get the gift of God. Open it up for yourself. Open the Bible. Receive it. He loves you. That'd be a great thing, and then tell us about it. Okay, I want to thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can watch us YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Thank you, everybody. Next week, we'll have a new topic.